Congratulations. You're a part of the revolution.
It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game. To get online now,
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Tony B and Hughes, I welcome you in. Tennessee loses tonight to Oklahoma. Bring it to me, son. Bring it to me. Come on. We're making it happen here with you, ladies and gentlemen, as I welcome you into another edition of your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. It's a place where you're the star. You are the star of the show. We've got an action-packed program lined out for you tonight, and lots of folks to get to, and we'll do that. And I want to hear from you as well. And it is the place where you, and I mean you, are the star of the show as Tennessee comes up on the short end of the stick tonight as they lose at Oklahoma in a game literally, that the kids deserve better in. The coaching tonight let the kids down. I'm just going to call it like it is. And you know, all year long this offseason, my theme has been, I am not going to hold Butch Jones and this coaching staff accountable unless I see stupidity. And if I see stupidity, I'm going to call stupidity where I see stupidity. I have to do that, right? Don't we have to do that in an honest sense? Don't we have to do that? Those kids gave so much effort tonight, and they were so close to being in that game at so many points, and it just didn't happen. It just did not happen for them. And so Tennessee goes down to defeat tonight at the hands of Oklahoma 34-10 in a game where Tennessee deserves so much and deserved so much better. And we've got a ton of folks that want to talk. And we're going to go ahead and go to the phone lines. As I remind you, tonight you are listening to the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. This is your commercial break-free home for immediate reaction as Tennessee tonight falls 34-10 to Oklahoma in a game where they deserve so much better. On defense, these guys just played so hard. And Worley tonight played so hard. And as is the case with teams that have a losing culture around them, they just made terrible plays at inopportune times that turned into catastrophes. And that's what we saw tonight from the Vols. Just catastrophic stuff tonight from the Volunteers. At one point tonight, you looked up and Tennessee had surrendered 4 sacks. On first down, they were averaging 0.6 yards per play on first down. And yet, it was still a football game. It was still a football game. Hard for me to comprehend that if we call the right stuff on the goal line with 13 minutes left, we're staring at a 10-point game. I mean, literally, that is anybody's football game. I have no problem tonight with the effort of the kids. None. I mean, we could point a finger here at the offensive line. We know what the offensive line here is. We all know what the offensive line is. I've got zero problem with the effort of the kids. zero problem with the effort of the kids. Have Gov call him for me. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in. Hey, I call it like it is. Those of you that aren't familiar with me, I only know one way. I'm wired one way. I only know one way. I cannot be a phony. That offensive play calling tonight was bad. 47 past the hour. And we'll go ahead and go to our phones. If you want to get in with us tonight at 865-200-5402, Russell Smith's coming by. I'm going to grab Jason Swain here in a little bit. We'll get him on with us. I'm going to get my cohort, Lo These Many Years, Bino, in with us. Hopefully Shawnee Boy Sinclair. I've got Roger here in studio. He watched a game with me tonight. Tennessee, a lot of bright spots this evening. A lot of bright spots. And the brightest spot of them all to me was the way these guys fought. The way that football team fought, I tip my cap to that entire team. Those kids played really hard. And no, I'm not a moral victory guy, but those kids played really hard. I'll tell you this right now. Oklahoma, with 13 minutes to go, we've got the ball, get ready to score, get ready to make that thing a 10-point game. I guarantee you they never dreamed in a million years we'd still be hanging around. Tennessee showed a lot of resilience, a lot of guts, but that offensive coordinator we have is not good. He did not have a good night tonight, and he's really not good. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Now, in all fairness to him, and I do want to be fair to him, in all fairness to him, his offensive line is a sieve. There's no doubt about that. You pick a guy on the offensive line tonight, I'm going to tell you he had a pretty rough night. That Stryker guy, Stryker is a noun, a verb, an adjective, and an adverb after tonight. That guy, there looked like there was five of him out there on some plays. Unbelievable. And so, Tennessee falls to 2-1 on the year. Everything for this football team is still in sight. Florida gets by Kentucky tonight in double overtime. And we're trying here. 865-200-5402 is our number. If you want to get up with us tonight on this Tennessee Saturday night, as it is your Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Before we do anything else, let's grab a couple calls here, and I'm going to start things off with Smitty. And then I'm going to go to my newsmaker hotline and grab Bino. Smitty, hello.
How you doing, Tony?
Hey, Smitty, welcome this evening.
Well, you know, I kind of touched base on some stuff that you said. I mean, I'm pretty proud of these guys. I thought their effort tonight was pretty good. You know, I guess to go with what you're saying about the offensive coordinator, I think that, you know, he tries to do too much with little talent. I think the stuff, some of the plays that he would run would work well with a good offensive line. And, you know, a little more talent, a little more, you know, I guess if the guys have a little more game time, stuff like that, you know, I think that's those play calls would work. And maybe a more accurate quarterback, but in general, I'm pretty proud of how Worley played. I mean, he sat back there and took some big hits. He had a pretty good game. I think his only mistake was the interception in the end zone, you know, the 100-yard return. I thought the defense was really, they did a great job. Oklahoma had great field position in the first half. You know, they were basically sitting at half field midfield for majority of the first half, and they kept it in check. They kept Tennessee in the ball game, and the offense, you know, I don't know if they did a horrible job. I think that, just the offensive line is a problem. I think a guy like, those guys, I think it's more the offensive line coach than it is anything. I think Stripling needs to get on those guys to have them, get those hands up a little quicker, be a little quicker on the line. Those guys, I mean, I'm watching a guy like Coleman Thomas, and, he's a freshman, I know, but he's so slow off the line.
It's not his fault.
Those guys are so slow off the line. I mean, they got to get their hands up.
Smitty, you can't get blood from a stone, man.
Huh?
You can't get blood from a stone. You're talking about a guy that's a freshman in high school that on a deep team with a football program that's fortified if you recruit properly and you don't have Derek Dooley out in front of this thing for several years. Coleman Thomas doesn't see the field till he's good and ready, and it's 2 years at the earliest. So it's not fair. Smitty, he can get his hands up all day long. Stryker was going to eat him alive tonight. Did you watch what I saw? It wouldn't have mattered.
Oh, no, I saw what you saw.
It wasn't going to matter.
I still think that they got to be a little quicker. I mean, I'm not gonna argue with you that he's young. I mean, I know he's young, and they're gonna have problems with that on the line. I mean, as far as adjustments and who to pick up and stuff like that. But they kept attacking that side. I thought they could have done a better job protecting that side with Stryker, because like Herb Street pointed out, it wasn't like Stryker came up to the line right when they're about to snap the ball. He was a late blitz, and every time, they couldn't pick up on it. But to go back what I'm saying, I'm still proud of what everybody did. I don't care who it was or what they did. I think they did a phenomenal job tonight. I'm not disappointed. I am, the fact that they lost, but I still think that they did a good job. I thought it could have been a lot worse. I thought this game was about two or three plays from being a really, really, really close game. And really, my last point is I think Devin Young, I don't think he should touch the ball again. I don't think he should be ever play on the field again. If a team like Farragut can stop him, then anybody can stop him. I don't know why they put him on the field. It's just embarrassing to see him return kicks from the middle of the end zone when he's not going to get past the 20, and we're going to get the 25-yard line if he just steps in the knee.
Yeah, he got out to the 15 on that one, and I mean, he got absolutely hammered. But
he's done it for 2 years, 3 years. I can't look at it anymore. Put Cam Sutton back there and just let him take a knee and take your field position. That's all you need to do. I mean, that's all you need to do. He set us back on about possessions tonight, just like he has in about seven games in his career. He just keeps running it out and killing them.
Well, they keep. I'll say this: two regimes now keep sticking him out there, so it must be there must be something there to him for him to continue to hold down that job as an incumbent. With everything that's happened.
He must be good in practice then. But anyway, like I said, Tony, I'm proud of the guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in the break and working on that offensive line and getting them a little more comfortable with some blitz schemes and stuff like that and being ready for Georgia. I'm hoping to see that they put up a good fight down there in Athens.
Thank you, Smitty. Yeah, and Georgia today will be smarting after a tough loss, after a rain delay to South Carolina. You know Georgia's going to be smarting in a couple weeks when Tennessee faces them. And then the Vols face a Gator team tonight that survives in triple overtime with Kentucky. I misspoke a second ago and said it was double overtime. It was actually a three-overtime game. And the reason I missed it is that I was preparing here and didn't quite get a chance to see the very end of that. Let's go ahead. And by the way, Tennessee's defense tonight only gave up 7 points in the second half. And I tip my cap to those guys because they played absolute lights-out football, ran to the ball, played with a lot of toughness, grit, determination. You know, I know this is going to sound really sheepy saying this. I don't care. I leave tonight sort of encouraged with this football team. Because I believe that they could have gotten blown out in the game. They got no help from the officials, zero. Bino, I bring you in now. Bino, you know I hate that with a passion, the replay system in college football. I think it absolutely stinks. And the reason it stinks is you got some retired guy up in the booth who couldn't see Bino as they had that gentleman on tonight on ABC, and he said that the ball was coming out and the man's knee was still up. Now, Bino, why can't the replay guy see that as I welcome you in?
I guess, Tony, it's because they're no longer able to do the job on the field, so they move them up there and give them the most important job in the whole state. Don't ask me.
When you watch that tonight, the ball's moving. His knee is not even close to being down. And the official comes out, and God bless the head referee tonight. He has to say what he's told from upstairs, which is his knee touched the ground. Now, when he goes back and watches that later, he will be apoplectic when he sees how foolish the guy up in the booth made him look.
Replay's about getting it right, Tony, and they just do that too little in college. So they might as well do away with it. Before I talk about Tennessee, let me say one other thing about the officiating crew. I wish SEC crews would allow teams to play in league play the way that SEC crew allowed that game to be played tonight. I had some questions about it, but at least they allowed it to. If that were a league game, there would have been at least six PIs. There would have been numerous holding calls and all kinds of taunting calls if that had been an SEC league game with that SEC crew. But for whatever reason, because they were in Oklahoma Stadium, they let the game go. They let them play.
I agree with that 1,000%. I mean, that here's the thing about that game tonight, and this is what happens to you when your program is where we've been. We had two or three cracks to have some real life in that game, and every chance, whether it was the official not giving us the ball there, which resulted in seven more going the other way, which completely altered the game at that point, the play by Worley on the goal line, Bino, if I was to say to anybody on Twitter, what's the worst possible thing that could happen here? 102-yard interception going the other way. All he has to do is keep the ball there. They have the defense spread out. He'll walk into the end zone if he keeps the ball there from 2 yards out. For everything they did poorly, Bino, at one point they averaged 0.5 yards per first down play on the night deep into the third quarter, and it was a 10-point game. That's how well we played on defense tonight.
Yeah, they stayed in that game on pure defensive grit, Tony. I mean, the effort was terrific. Worley's toughness is unquestioned. But our defense kept us in a game that we should have been blown out in. In the end, our worst fears were realized. Our O-line was overwhelmed like we thought that they would probably could be. Several areas of our special teams were awful. And our red zone offense and our third down conversion offense were really disappointing. But the effort was there, and I don't remember us being as physical against the top-tier team as we were tonight.
No question. They did not. Let's face the facts, okay? Their defensive line physically overwhelmed us. Our offense, they physically overwhelmed us. It looked like a pack of bees at times going after Worley back there. I felt so sorry for that kid. And that's the saddest part about his 102-yard interception, is that many people are going to look at that, and it's going to be shown on ESPN tomorrow over and over again. Justin Worley deserves a lot better than the result that occurred tonight in that game. He managed the game. I thought he made some very good decisions. I thought he threw the ball really well. He minimalized the amount of throwing the ball off his back feet that he's done. He ate it when he had to eat it. He checked when he had to check. You know, our offense, for my money, is just too goofy. It's why would you unload the backfield there on the goal line? Would you please explain that to me? When you've run the ball right down the field on him, would you please explain that to me?
Yeah, we ran the ball really well in the second half. I don't have any explanation for that, Tony. I'm certainly not sold that Mike Bajakian's the guy, but I'm also not willing to make that evaluation until they get the pieces that they need. Now, my biggest fear, Tony, is that their style of running game will never be really successful unless they have a quarterback that's a threat to run. I don't see how that running attack can be successful without it. Maybe I'm mistaken.
I totally agree with that. I 1,000% agree with that. Bino, anything else you want to add tonight? Let's take a couple calls. I'll tell you what, Bino, stay right there. Let me go back to my phones at 865-200-5402. And let me grab Bill, who's up next with me, followed by DC. Bill, hello.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Bill. Welcome, my friend, on the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Appreciate the show.
Thank you.
I can't complain too much about the effort, Tony. I saw some effort out there, and I was proud of them for at least trying to be physical. And when you look at the O-line, I was discouraged by the O-line, just like you were, but I had to keep telling myself three out of those five guys on the interior of the line were playing high school ball last year against fifth-year seniors there at Oklahoma. And I just had to keep that in perspective as I was watching it, but hopefully we got some experience tonight, very painfully, but hopefully maybe we got some experience tonight.
I think we grew up a lot in that game, and we didn't get anybody hurt. We didn't really get anybody hurt, so you didn't have that catastrophe. You didn't get blown out, and Tennessee is better than they've been in a long, long time, and you can just see it. We're 1.5 classes away from being able to beat that team that we saw tonight. And we're one class away from being able to stay on the field with them.
I was so proud of the defense just not giving in. Even to the very end, they were playing tough. And you got to give the coaches credit at least for having that mindset instilled in the players. And I know some of it is the players, but the coach has to awaken up that fighting stamina. But the only complaint was I wish the receivers would have been a little bit more aggressive going after the balls that Worley threw. I think Worley played one of the best games he's ever had. I know it sounds strange, but everything was against him. He did not have a lot of help, but he stayed in there and was tough. And that first touchdown, he went through a lot to get that touchdown. I was kind of proud of that first one.
I agree with you.
I wish their receivers would be, and they're good. I'm not saying they're not good. I wish they could be a little bit more aggressive going after the ball and taking possession of it. Thanks, Tony. Enjoy the show.
Hey, thank you. Bino, Kroom's got to help his Kroom has to help his quarterback there on that play in the end zone.
Absolutely, no question, Tony. You when you got his physical ability and God-given gifts, you've got to use him. He's a big guy that's not a physical receiver. I wish he had Josh Smith's physicality. Will you watch Smith tonight just do the blue collar stuff, like try to jump on fumbles, like become a defender and try to break up tip balls?
And, yep.
Kroom has the body to be a guy that nobody could go through, but they always find a way to do it.
And the kid made a great play, in the end zone, their corner. But at the same time, that's a play that ball skills wise, you have to come down. You either come down with that ball or nobody gets that ball. That ball does not deserve to be intercepted. In fact, he had to tip it and deflect it to keep it alive for it to be intercepted. It was really a disservice done to Worley. You know, sometimes in games, a quarterback's numbers look better than they are, and sometimes they don't look as good. And tonight, Worley had a much better night than his line says.
Hey, Tony, I tell you, he was much better against all of that pressure than I thought that he was capable of.
I agree.
Because he rarely had a time when there weren't people all around. If they weren't knocking him down, they were all around his feet. He had zero time. And I thought his poise was really good tonight for the most part in the game.
Let's get Davey in here, who's next with us on your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Davey, hello.
Hey, guys, you know what I thought was pretty cool tonight? And I won't get to the Tennessee deal here in just a minute, but watching Will Muschamp here on the TV just a few minutes ago when they barely pulled out a six-point victory against Kentucky at home in a swamp, bragging about his team had 600 yards of total offense.
He's dead man walking. That's what he is.
Yeah.
And he knows it, by the way. He knows it. We know it. Everybody knows it. Florida fans are not going to travel when they come to Knoxville in a couple weeks. They know it. Everybody in sight knows it. And I'll tell you something else. That kid that plays quarterback in Kentucky ain't bad, okay? They're not bad, Bino. Kentucky's not bad.
No, Stoops is doing a really good job of bolstering that roster, Tony. That's hats off to him.
Hey, guys, what's going to happen if John Gruden lands down there in Gainesville? Which I don't think Cindy will stand for living in Gainesville, but how bad is that going to look?
John Gruden will never coach college football, and I don't think he'll coach NFL football. I think he likes hearing his name too much and seeing his name and being pretty on television.
I don't know who's going to be down there, guys, but it's going to be an offensive guy.
Yep.
Their defensive guys don't work down there. Their fan base has grown up, basically. The only thing they've known is the fun and gun and Urban Meyer's offense, and they're not going to stand for Ron Zook or Muschamp or any of that nonsense.
That stuff's unwatchable. Their style of football right now is unwatchable.
Yeah, but we all know Gruden wanted the Tennessee job, but we'll move on. I'll tell you what, guys, I think the sickest man in college football today has got to be Frank Beamer. You know, he goes up there to Ohio State and gets probably the biggest road victory of his career, and then he comes back home and lays an egg against East Carolina.
There's a lot of people that are sick today around college football. He's definitely one of them, and I'll tell you something. I watched that game from pillar to post, and I don't know if you guys did, but East Carolina should have blown them off the field. The score should have been at least 35-0 at halftime, at least.
Hey, and I was proud to see the way the old ball coach came back today against Georgia.
No question. Boy, you think Georgia would like to have that back at the end of that game? Wow. Wow.
Hey, guys, let me tell you what troubled me about the Tennessee game today. And I'll tell you what, I gained a lot of respect for Justin Worley today. That kid took a pounding and kept coming back. But I'll tell you what, I am so upset with that offensive coaching staff. When we got screwed on that fumble. What should have been a fumble when we got the ball that cost us 7 points. And then we get it down there on that last possession, the last important possession, and we've got it 3rd and 2, and we have just started to run the ball on them. And they line that kid up there with nobody at all in the backfield. Now, how stupid do you think that is, Bino?
Well, we talked about it, Dave. That's a absolute legitimate criticism. You just can't. You shouldn't do that.
It's unforgivable, is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not even a legitimate criticism. It's indefensible and it's unforgivable. And what these coaches say to these kids is, "Hey, we want you to be better. We want you to be Tennessee. You're not Tennessee level. Blah blah blah." Hey, that stinks. Your kids fight as hard as they fight, and you're going to come out. And that's what you're going to do is you've marched the ball all the way down the field. We're going to go empty backfield. What is this, the championship game in 2001 and we're down in the Georgia Dome? I'm having a flashback.
You got to give your kids a chance to succeed.
Absolutely. Right on.
And you know what? I had questions about both our offensive and defensive coordinators. I'm sold on our defensive side of the ball. I think we look good there. But I tell you what, I think we need to take a hard look at the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. And, guys, I'll hang up and listen to you.
Thank you, Davey. 865-200-5402. But, you know, give me a final thought here on the way out. I'm going to grab a couple more folks here. Give me a couple takeaways you had from this game.
Well, Tony, I guess the biggest positive is just the way we stayed in the game under overwhelming odds and the physicality we showed on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew it was a difficult task going in.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe, Tony, that next year's Oklahoma game here
mm-hmm.
in Knoxville
mm-hmm.
could be a program direction-changing event.
I'm going to hold you to that. We've got 52 weeks to think about it. I'm going to hold you to that, Bino. I think you're right. I turned to my son tonight. I said, see that team right there? We're getting them next year in Neyland Stadium. He goes, no, well, you were playing them. I said, no. We're getting them next year in Neyland Stadium. You mark my words.
I guess the other thing is, Tony, I certainly would not discourage anyone from what their thoughts are on this coaching staff. The only thing I would urge anybody to do is understand until you have the pieces, it's hard to evaluate at any point.
We
certainly can't evaluate our offensive line coach when he's got a bunch of freshmen.
No, gosh, no.
I really believe that there's a chance that next year that's one of our strengths rather than a weakness.
And here's the other thing, Bino. We can't sit here and there's not really much you can do offensively when you can't block.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say they did some nice things in the second half trying to create some space for Hurd, and they did some creative things with him, and there were some timely calls. That offense, though, is really tough for me to watch right now. And again, I've got to be patient. That's me. I'm just speaking.
It is for me as well,
okay.
Tony, and I told you the reason earlier. I just don't believe we'll ever be real effective running the football if we don't have a quarterback that can run it based on that style of attack. I just can't see how we can ever be really good running
the one thing that is reality to me, Bino, is that in this league, show me an offense of that sort that's worked without a great athlete at quarterback. Show it to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you something. There hasn't been one. That offense does not work without a great athlete under center.
Yeah, I think you're right. All losses sting, Tony. It doesn't matter how expected they were. This one is no different. But it hasn't changed what I saw in game one or game two. You can see the increased talent level, and it's coming.
Absolutely. Well put. Thank you, my friend. Hey, God bless, Bino. Great talking to you. Yes, sir. Go Vols. As Bino jumps out, he usually joins me Fridays on my show. I've been sans Bino for a while, and it's been kind of painful. Russell W. Smith is now walking in the studio here. Russell, you of 94.3 FM, The Drive. We're also going to get Jason Swain on here momentarily, who does a show on another radio station. So we're going to have three different radio stations in Knoxville represented at one time here on your Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where our caller star, Dubsy. I thought there were a lot of bright spots for Tennessee tonight. They were a cat's whisker from being in that football game late, which you could not have convinced me earlier.
Well, that's
week.
What I was going to say. I mean, they're getting close. They're so close, man. Yeah. You could tell. I mean, they're just one or two really good offensive linemen from being away from that game. I thought they really missed Pearson. He would have added an element. They missed Wolf. He probably could have helped in the blocking game as much as he could in the passing game, but they're so close, man. And, you know, that defense yep. is, really good, I think. And
yep.
I mean, I know it's frustrating to fans to
it hurts, man.
You get hammered like that, but they're so close. And I think these next two games, they're winning one of them.
Here you go.
Georgia, Florida, they're winning one of those games.
Here you go.
And it might be Georgia.
Here you go.
I mean,
Georgia's defense tonight looked abysmal.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they're out there in the rain, and they've got a wounded animal out there in South Carolina, not wanting to drop a second game early in the season. Tennessee tonight, though. Boy, I'll tell you, I got to ask Swain something real quick, and then we'll go. We'll get him in here and get some more phone calls in here. Swainy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's Sunday.
Swainy, holy Sunday to you. Great talk to you. Swainy, talk to me here. How proud are you of those kids tonight and the fact that they didn't fold it up when they had several chances to?
Man, they fought. They fought their tails off tonight. They made mistakes. Oklahoma made mistakes. Oklahoma's just a better football team. Oklahoma, when they made mistakes, it wasn't detrimental. When Tennessee made mistakes, it resulted in 6 points. You know, we blitzed and left a back wide open. That was a mistake. It was 6 points for them. We make a mistake on not reading the blitz and knowing that, hey, they're bringing more people than we can block. And Justin Worley holds on to the football, and that's a mistake, and it results in a fumble. So our mistakes cost us points. Their mistakes probably cost them a couple yards or, maybe a play or two. And then they recovered and went down and put up points. I thought Tennessee's beginning of the football game was able to hold them to a couple field goals, and that was key for that defense to hold the offense to some field goals and still only be down 13-7. But, hey, you have to be efficient on third down, and you got to be able to block them. Tony, we talked about this on yesterday about the line of scrimmage and how worried that I was about our offensive line versus their defensive line and defensive line versus their offensive line. And that's what it came down to tonight.
Yep. And you know what? Hey, I'll say this. Our young defensive line, those guys grew up tonight, man. I mean, and at times, look, when Oklahoma has the number of backs they have, they're going to run at you and run you over, and it's not going to look good at times. And it didn't late in the game, but you're out on the field as much as you were. Our offensive line with that striker guy, Swain, I looked out there a couple times and thought, is there three of him running around? I don't know if I've ever seen an individual performance like that in all my years of doing what I've done. A guy that was that dominant. A guy all over the field. And they had no answers for him. Well, I'm going to we're going to keep a back here to block. That didn't work. We're going to let one of the young tight ends try to help out our tackle with him. That didn't work. It was unbelievable.
Is he related to Ricardo Stryker, the mythic recruit?
Yeah, Ronaldo Stryker. Swain, I thought a key play in the game tonight was Tennessee had several chances to get that thing down to 10. And there was a play there in the end zone. You know, Kroom is such a big guy. Why is it that some big guys like him that play that position don't know they're big? They're like big dogs that don't know they're big.
Yeah, I don't know, Tony. I saw him this spring and I thought he had it figured out. 6'5", 240 pounds. He was really, being physical and manhandling DBs on the perimeter. And, I noticed it last game when he caught a curl route and he had about 4 or 5 yards around him before the next defender. And instead of running and saying, hey, I wish somebody would tackle me. I dare you, come try to tackle me. He was looking for people to jump on him. And yeah, it looked good when, three or four guys jumped on him and he didn't go down and, the crowd was getting excited. But, I was on the sideline with another couple former Vols and we're like, hey man, what are you looking for? Just go run. Just go seek people out and knock them over. And, tonight, I don't know if this ball was thrown inside or if it was low, if it wasn't high enough for him to kind of high point it, but, I'm a little surprised that he allowed that a DB to make a play on that football.
You can't, right? I mean, that's what guys have played that position have told me is, and you guys call that ball skills when the ball's in the air. That's either your ball or it's nobody's ball, right? I mean, that ball's thrown so well that cannot be a pick. I mean, you almost feel sorry for your quarterback when they're looking at that in film tomorrow, because really he keeps it alive there by tipping it up in the air, right?
Yeah, no one can say anything bad about Justin Worley.
No.
I mean, you can't say anything bad about him. It's basketball. You know, when you have a loose ball on the floor and two guys go after it and coaches use the phrase 50-50 ball, and it's the same thing with receivers. You know, when that ball's in the air, it's a 50-50 ball. And the great receivers, they come down with it more times than not. So, Kroom, I mean, he's limited already because of his lack of speed. His lack of quickness, in that area of the football field, you have to be unstoppable. I mean, that has to be your game. I mean, you play a video game and you got size, you got speed, you got agility, you got catching ability, you got all these, you know, attributes about you. And you might have a 90 ranking here or 70 ranking here. And Kroom has a bunch of, you know, 70s and 80s when it comes to speed and quickness. He needs to have 100 when it comes to ball skills. You know, he needs to have 100 when it comes to aggressiveness. It needs to be 100 when it comes to run blocking, because if it's not, then he's going to find himself getting beat out by someone else. And that someone else is a true freshman coming in from Lovejoy High School, Preston Williams. I mean, he'll be taking his spot next year if Kroom doesn't play like the grown man that he looks like.
And that just always baffles my mind to see guys that are that big that refuse to play big. It's a real interesting thing, because I bet you'd wish God would have given you that big body that he has. I mean, all the natural skill.
I'll probably be a model, though.
Interesting. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very little.
If I was blessed with that, if I was blessed with that body, I'd probably go try to be a model, Tony.
And by the way, and I call that your Smart Way play of the day from Swaney, as I want to remind you, Smart Way has everything for your home where you're going to pay your way. We're going back to the phones. Jason Swain, you can hear him on the Swain event. I encourage you to download his app. It is the future. Get in it. He had a terrific interview a couple days ago with Leonard Little that's there that will blow your mind. And we shared some time yesterday on my show together, but let me say this. Go smartway.net. Smartway is everything for your home store where you'll pay your way. And here's what I mean by pay your way. Smartway has everything you want from your home, from furniture to appliances, electronics, cell phones. They even have tires. And they offer products in a way that you've never seen before. You can walk in there, buy it today, pay a low price, and go out the door. Bang. Or you can pay 120 days, same as cash price. Pay the cash price within the first 120 days. Boom. Or choose a lease, purchase, rent to own agreement where you can choose your payment amount and the frequency even that you're going to pay. You're going to pay weekly, pay weekly. Pay biweekly, biweekly. Once every 3 weeks, once a month, whatever it is. You can change that agreement any way you want to without any hassle from the folks at SmartWay. Peek your head in there, see what they're doing, or go online to gosmartway.net and see what I'm talking about. They're at 8416 Kingston Pike, down near Bearden High School in Knoxville, and also a location to folks listening to us in the Carolinas over in Charlotte. And there will be one coming to a place near you as we get ready to go back to our phones. I've got Jason Swain with me, who is, you know, this late night thing, he's a family man, first of all, so he's not up at this hour. Secondly, he's doing a 7 o'clock show Monday through Friday now from 7 to 10 in morning drive time. And so I'm going to have Swain for a short amount of time. Let's go back to our phones and grab Don, who's up next with us. Don, good evening and welcome. You're on the SmartWay Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Oh, I had to go incognito, man. I thought I might have been, screened off there by...
No, never, man. I want to hear from you. Go right ahead, TR.
No, I didn't mean to go the Jeeker route and say Davey, but Don from Sweetwater, but man, I don't know, man. We had our chances there. That was a critical play, like it's all been in front of us. You know, that fumble, the dude's got the ball in his armpit. I mean, you know, SEC crew. I mean, I saw some plays earlier today. Dude made a great catch, and they went back and reviewed it. It was a 12 o'clock game. I think it was, who was it, man? Help me out there. It was a
12 o'clock game? You talking about the East Carolina, Virginia Tech game?
Yeah, the white boy that made the big possession catch.
Yes.
It probably was East Carolina, but
great play.
I seen him get it right. I seen him get it right, like Swain was saying earlier in the week. You know, just get it right. But no, we're not going to get it right, man. This is a coronation. This is about a coronation. You know, the movement, the Final Four, the
it's really true. No, it's really true. It's
Rudy in the locker room.
I believe that.
Coronation.
I believe
it's a progression. Coronation with a sacrificial lamb. No, it's not your time. You just gotta take your freaking lumps and like it.
Let me ask Swain something, and then I'm gonna ask Dubsy. Swain, was that ball a fumble?
Yes.
Dubsy, was that a fumble?
Of course.
Why don't they call that a fumble? TR's right. TR's right. That's why.
East Carolina game against Vontech, that forward pass. They went. I thought it was a forward pass, but no, it was a lateral. It was a fumble. They got it right. They took the time and they got it right. But not tonight at Oklahoma. We're not going to take the time. We're not going to get it right. But can I have some jams, man? Can I have a little jam? Jams, because we're undefeated in SEC as we speak, dude. We're moving forward to Atlanta. I just want a bumper jam.
TR, thank you. No bumper jams. We're commercial free here, bro. But I love you like a brother. That's how it's got to stay. I'm going back to my busy phones here. Mark's in Columbus. Jason Swain is with me. He's from the Swain event. Russell Smith's here from 94.3 The Drive. So we've got, right now, we've got morning Swainy. Me, middays, and Dubsy in the afternoon. Three different radio stations represented here. Swain, they told me we couldn't do this. What they tell me, Swain? They told me we couldn't do this.
I had to do it anyways.
What the hell, right? You only live once. Let's go back to our phones. And the way things are going, I'm not going to live longer if we can't beat somebody soon. But I think those days are about over. I sense this thing really, really coming together. I think the team took a step forward tonight as we get Mark, who's up in Columbus, listening to us tonight as we span 38 states in Canada. Mark, hello.
Hey, good evening, Tony. Good evening, guys.
Hey.
Couple things I drew from me. First of all, Butch needs to know, covering the numbers is important. You know what I mean? Cover the point spread?
Sure it is. Absolutely.
That means, I mean, it's important to boosters, it's important to people. Not saying I bet the game, but still. The one thing I've noticed the first three games this year, and the reason why I'm probably the most optimistic I've been since he's taken over, we are beginning, from a physicality standpoint, to look like an SEC team again. Even a guy like Todd Kelly, true freshman, that kid's big. And strong and fast. We haven't had that kind of size, strength, and speed on our roster in quite a while. The receivers, I mean, even Kroom, I know he's, you know, kind of looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane, but Kroom, North, Malone, those kids have NFL bodies. That's the one thing I've noticed.
I think you're exactly right. And Swainy, and Dubsy, I think that really shows up defensively. The recruiting prowess of the staff, it jumps off the page at you defensively how much better these guys are and how much more prepared they are to win. Defensively, you can really see it right now.
Yeah. There's second year in the system, you know, it's been, I think there's a lot to be said for that. Just guys look like they know where to be before the ball is even snapped.
And Barnett and Williams tonight, the guys on that defensive line, I tip my cap to those young kids. That's a lot of football in adverse conditions. And if you look at Oklahoma, Swain, you know, their program's to the point where they're like we used to be. They're subbing out. They've got 6, 8, 9, 10, 12 guys. Mm-hmm. And we got kids that are on the field, Swainy, snap after snap, man. That wears you out. And we still only gave up one touchdown, offensive touchdown, the second half. That's a remarkable performance by those kids, Jason Swain.
Yeah, that defensive line, they played hard. Outsized, but 30, 40 pounds. And they were showing some of the line stunts that Tennessee was doing in that football game, and it really made a difference stopping the run. And you can only do it so much if you don't have the depth. At some point in the 60-minute football game, Oklahoma or the other team, they'll find a way to run the football if you don't have that depth. But Tennessee fought. You know, those guys fought. I'm not really upset too much with the game. I understand the refs blew a holding call and blew a fumble there. I thought Tennessee – again, fought to the end. I'm not upset with Justin Worley. This is really not a player I'm truly upset with. I just understand that we were outmanned, and we took a step forward. You know, definitely better than it was last year versus Oregon. You never look at any loss as a moral victory, but this football team it's improved, and hopefully we take this experience and we build on it, and it helps us against Ole Miss, because that's really the next opportunity. I see where it's going to be a tough environment to play. You know, Georgia. Georgia's. We always had success down in Georgia.
That's
right. I mean, their home field is not really that scary, but Ole Miss, when that thing gets rocking, it can be tough. So. Hopefully this experience that Tennessee went through tonight will help us against Ole Miss on the road here in a few weeks.
Go ahead, Mark. Finish us up here in Columbus, my friend. And thank you for staying up with us, by the way.
Oh, no problem. I echo your thoughts that a guy like Coleman Thomas is redshirt this year in normal circumstances if you have the proper offensive line depth that we should have, unfortunately. Commander Dooley didn't really do much on the recruiting trail from that aspect, but I totally agree. I think, like I said, just from a physical standpoint, we're starting to look like an SEC team again. We don't look small. I remember the couple years under Dooley, we looked so small in our uniforms. I mean, it was just embarrassing. You knew they just had no chance. I think we surprised somebody this year like we did last year with South Carolina, and I think we get to 7-6 and 6-7-5, make a bowl game.
I'd love to see it, man.
I'll hang up and listen, buddy. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Call.
I'd love to see that. These upperclassmen who've been through so much deserve something good to happen for them. And I tell you, tonight, you guys laugh. For as much as we were outplayed in that game, and believe me, there was a lot of things that did not go right, you could have looked up with 13 minutes left, and that could have been a 10-point game. I mean, that thing was a play or two away from turning on Oklahoma. That game could have gotten scary for them if we'd have punched the ball in there with 12 minutes and change left.
Well, I think Swain said it best. I mean, Oklahoma's thoroughly better team than Tennessee.
Thoroughly
pretty
better.
Much every positional matchup, they had the advantage out there.
Yes.
And for Tennessee to cause them as many problems as they did tonight, it has got to be encouraging.
Well, I mean, Swain's sitting there yesterday, and Roger comes up to him, you know, in the Hardee's where we were over there on Western Avenue, and he says to Swain, well, what matchups do we have that are in our favor? And Swain looks at him and goes, Roger.
I thought our cheerleaders matched up pretty well tonight, Tony.
We're not bringing our band, Roger.
I thought we had a solid.
I don't know, Roger. I don't know where we're going to win, where we're going to get our win tonight.
Dave Hart and his white Elvis jumpsuit before the game.
That is the most next level.
He had Joe Castiglione. Whatever, I don't even see what he's wearing, but it couldn't have been better than
Swain,
that.
Swain, were you following Twitter today? Did you see that picture of Dave Hart in that all white?
Yeah, he was challenging his inter Al Davis. He looked awesome.
If they would have put... if they would have put some ears on him, he would have looked like Ralphie from A Christmas Story. Anyway, let's go back to our phones and grab the Rooster who's up next with us, Tennessee Rooster. Hello, you're on. You've got Jason Swain, Russell Smith. I'm Tony Basilio. And welcome, my friend, to the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
I appreciate it, Tony.
Thank you.
It's been a great day of college football.
It sure
Andy
has.
Picked up a hard-fought win.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Strong, that poor guy, he's already on the hot seat. You know, he lost to UCLA tonight, and he walked into a situation where the cupboard wasn't bare. Then you look over at Kentucky. They played Florida. They played them tough, and I'll tell you what, man. I was chalking up one of our six wins to Kentucky, and now I'm not sure I can do that anymore.
No, you cannot. I totally agree with that. That shows you what recruiting does, because that guy's gotten after it, and they've evaluated, and they've been smart and economical with what they've done, and some of the additions to their roster. And I've kind of laughed at them. Hey, they got a quarterback and can throw it around a little bit. And if they stay healthy and don't get their lines too beat up, that will be an interesting football game when Tennessee plays them. I agree with you.
Yeah, hopefully we'll toughen up and we'll continue to get better. We'll see how that one turns out for us. But let me ask you this. I know you've hit on it some. Do you not think this zone read play that we're running is just it's a throwaway play? I don't think we've gained more than 7 yards on that play all year in the first three games. I mean, to me, we're throwing in the towel. Every time we run that play, nothing comes of it. I mean, the two long plays that Hurd had tonight, the two big gainers, I think one was a misdirection.
Yes.
The other one, I don't think it was the zone read. I think it was something else. But without a good quarterback, without a T. Martin back there, that's just not going to work. If it were me, I'd open up the playbook, I'd rip that page out, I'd file it for next year when we had a different quarterback. What do you think?
Jason, what do you think about the zone read?
I mean, I think you keep doing it. Because not all of the plays that you see Justin Worley put the ball in the running back's belly appears like he can take it. I don't think all of them are zone reads. I think some of them are designed for him to take the ball if it's missed. But I don't think all of them are zone reads. It looks like that to us because it's the same action. And defensively, you want the defense to think it's the same action. Worley needs to pull it some. And hey, if the offensive line is better, we wouldn't be having this conversation, to be honest. Last year, the running back's a little bit better. If Rajon Neal wasn't being lassoed in the open field as much as he was last year, we wouldn't be having that conversation that we had last year. It's been a combination of two mixed messages. You know, last year it was a really good offensive line with so-so running backs. And this year you have better running backs, Jalen Hurd, with the terrible offensive line. So I want to see it when it's all put together. Good offensive line.
Yeah.
Good running backs.
Yeah.
And then a quarterback that runs, you know, 4-7 or better. And the next two guys we got coming in, Quentin Dormady and Austin Kendall from North Carolina, both of those guys can run a little bit. So I think it'll look better in the future. But, yeah, right now it's not so great because those three things, they don't mix right now.
Now, Rooster, it's nearly impossible to watch. And what compounds it for me, Jason, is that your margin of error is so thin. When you get down there on the goal line, you can't empty your backfield there after you've run the ball all the way down the field. I mean, I know they're trying to get cute, and we're going to spread it out. And if you are going to do that, and it's there, the quarterback has to take it and put it in the end zone there. All he has to do is walk that ball in. But, again, it's hard to fault him because he's getting his face blown off all night. And, you know, it's real easy for me to sit here with a headphone on. I'm not out there in the live action. So, but it's frustrating to watch, Rooster, there's no doubt.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully, like Jason said, it'll come together for us next year and it'll look a little bit different. And maybe we'll continue to improve this year. But I'll wrap it up with this, Tony. Our defense, man, a lot more athletic. You can see it when they're running plays to the outside. The pursuit is there. I mean, the whole defense is flowing that direction, and they're not letting the guy get outside and break containment and all that good stuff.